I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to you on, I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against the sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and of the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty.
When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
I love Candlemas. It is probably my most favourite day in the church calendar after Maundy Thursday. Both of our children were baptised on Candlemas. I've brought their candles with us today. As you can see, the neglect of the second child runs strong, as Harry's candle was lit annually as a memory of his baptism, and Reuben's candle remains as intact as it was on the day that it was given to him. I'd like to share with you why it is that Candlemas fascinates me so much and why it is so special to me. In the gospel reading, we heard that Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple because every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. It was probably this line that stuck with me when I asked my vicar at the time, Father John, if I could book a baptism for Candlemas. This sounds pretty run-of-the-mill, doesn't it? Except I booked it very early into my pregnancy. I had been told that I would not be able to fall pregnant naturally, and even with medical assistance, there would be a very small chance of success. Because of this, when I fell pregnant, I felt terrified that the thing that I had longed for the most in the world wouldn't last. I'd had a difficult pregnancy, and being penciled in the church diary strengthened me. It gave me a light to focus on. I remember the conversation with him when he said, "It was a lovely idea, but as the baby wasn't due until the middle of November, it wouldn't be a problem to move the date." When Reuben was born, we couldn't think of a day as special. So although John and I were both keen on baptizing him when he was tiny, we waited until he was a little older so he too would be baptized at Candlemas. Versions of the story that I had read in my children's Bible, firstly to myself and subsequently in Sunday school, gave the impression that there were two elderly people just waiting in the temple until they saw Jesus. We know from the gospel that Simeon and Anna were much more than that. Starting with Simeon, we are told that he was righteous and devout, and that the Holy Spirit was on him. He was special, important, and to be respected. Growing up as a member of the church, I have a long list of men whose faces are brought to mind when I read this part of the scripture. Those who worked hard in the church, former church wardens, organists, therapists, Eucharistic ministers, tea makers, those handy with a screwdriver or paintbrush, men who created the models of the Stations of the Cross that we used in Holy Week. The list could go on and on. Ordinary men who served God and worked to bring the kingdom of God here on earth using their skills and wisdom. Simeon had it revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. I don't think that he sat there waiting. Thinking about the men I'd grown up respecting and sometimes being a little scared of, I think he prepared the way using the skills he had. Father John, in a sermon on Martha and Mary, reminded me that we were human beings, not human doings. But as I discovered whilst preparing for our marriage with Bridget, my love language is service. I think of all those men in the congregations that I have known who expressed their love of God through practical service, and I am so grateful. Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms and praised God. He says that he may be dismissed in peace because his eyes have seen the salvation that was promised. As a child, I used to think that he was really old and therefore must have handed the baby back and just died there on the spot. I don't think that that is the case now. Working for a life's purpose and achieving it doesn't mean that life afterwards stops. It just means that it changes. Most of us have experienced a big project coming to an end and the peace that that brings. I think that Simeon would have experienced that peace 100-fold. Simeon also spoke directly to Mary, saying, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." If they had been any other couple off the street, I'm sure these words would have been very unusual and troubling. But Mary discovered she was going to have a child from an angel. They had had visits from shepherds and wise men, so this might have been less unexpected to them. That being said, these are powerful words being told by someone who was respected. They were spoken to be heard. They were spoken for others to hear. My research for this talk today went down many paths, but one that I was particularly interested in was the concept of purification. I remember hearing great aunts asking if mothers had been churched after the birth of a child when I was little. I thought it was just that people took their new baby to church to say hello. I didn't know that women were considered unclean after childbirth. It is easy to overlook the reason why that holy family were in the temple that day. It was because Mary needed to be purified. Within the Jewish faith, we are aware that blood is considered unclean. Childbirth is a messy business. In Leviticus 12, because she had a son, she was told that she was considered ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she would be unclean on her menstrual period. And then for 33 days afterwards, she would be purified from the bleeding of childbirth. If she had had a daughter, she is ceremonially unclean for 2 weeks and then has to wait 66 days to be purified from the bleeding of childbirth. Then once this time had passed, she should bring a one-year-old lamb as a burnt offering and young pigeon or dove as a sin offering. In the gospel reading, there is no mention of a burnt offering, so I suspect that they were unable to afford the burnt offering, although we know that they had just been gifted gold by the wise men. Perhaps, as earthly parents of Jesus, the thought of sacrificing a lamb with all the foreshadowing and prophecy of his death didn't sit comfortably with them. Recalling my own experience of bringing our children to church after they had been born, I did not do so because I felt I needed to be purified. Rather, I wanted to bring our child to meet their family. I'm pretty sure that my first trip out of the house with each of the boys was to take them to church. Not to be purified, but to be recognized as a family. Moving now to Anna. We have been told that she was very old. She had been married for 7 years and had been widowed. She never left the temple. Once again, when I heard this story as a child, all manner of women in my church could have been Anna. The church that I had grown up in had a large female congregation, many of whom had been widowed. These women, in my mind, must have lived in the church. They were full of life and joy and served in many different ways. My most favourite was when they fed us all. My particular favourites were saltfish fritters and brown stewed chicken. I struggled to see Anna fasting when the women at my church were all about sharing food, but nevertheless, there I can see Anna in all their faces. These women could get straight to the heart of the matter and had such a clarity of sight, just as we know that Anna did. In the gospel, she is referred to as a prophet. Her words mattered, and she identified Joseph and Mary and gave thanks for their child, who was going to bring forward the redemption of Jerusalem. The words of Simeon and Anna, although lovely and familiar to us, would have been unsettling and controversial. Talking about the rising and falling of many in Israel and being a light of revelation to the Gentiles in a place where God was only accessible by the most powerful would have been dangerous. As we know from the end of Jesus's life, it was the priests and Pharisees that called for Jesus to be stopped. And here are two people declaring that this vulnerable baby would bring about such change, was here in the place where they worked and studied. So, coming back to why I love Candlemas, it is because it reminds me that I am a part of this story. The Gospels that we read are being lived by us every day. Do I think that my children are the second coming? Of course not. But they are the most precious thing that I have been gifted by God. I brought them to baptism at Candlemas. For me, it made sense. My boys bring life, light to my life. But Jesus brings light to the world, light in the darkness, light for others to see, and a light that lives in each and every one of us.